Join us as Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll teaches us how to strengthen our relationship with God through His Holy Word.
I would like for you to turn with me this morning, if you would, to John. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, and we'll read through verse 9. John chapter 20, 1 through 9. It says, "Now the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she ranneth and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, yet went he not in. Then came Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloth lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. They went in also, that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the sepulchre, for yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away unto their own home." Well, we're celebrating Easter, right? And by doing that, I've got to tell you some stories, which is usually the thing I normally do. How many of you can remember back whenever you were children? And man, in West Virginia, I said it. In West Virginia, as a kid growing up there, there's all kinds of memories that we have of some of the things my mother used to say to me. But that's okay. It's got to eat a lot more. But I remember some of the things my mother used to do, and she used to say, and sometimes I would get upset with my mom. You ever get upset with your mom? And I would tell my mom, and I'd get upset, or she'd be cooking supper or something like that for the 14 of us. And I'd say to mom, I'd be mad at her. I'd say, "Well, I'm not going to eat." And I'd be that mad. And my mom would look at me with that voice, and she'll say, like, "Well, you'll eat whenever you get hungry." And then she would just leave it at that. I'm telling you this, if you got 14 kids in the house like that and the meal's put on the table, don't tell your mom you're not going to eat, all right? Because there's nothing left. Because everybody's going to get into it. And they did, all right? There was never coming back later whenever you're hungry. But I said that to say this. The sermon title this morning is Echoes from the Tomb, or Echoes from the Past. Because I can still remember those voices of those people in the past. And whenever we look into the tomb this morning where Jesus laid, we're going to get a lot of echoes from the past. The things that Jesus said, even though it was unspoken, we can still get the message from it. I remember an old man in West Virginia, Ward Curry, and that guy only spoke once. And if you didn't do what he told you to do at that moment, you were in big trouble. He didn't come back and told you twice. Remember those days? Children have to be told two or three times, and they still don't get the message. But back then, whenever my mother and father or these individuals spoke, it was once and you got the message. What we need to do whenever we look into scriptures, we need to be able to get the message because God's spoken, and just listen to what God has to say through his message. Now, we've been studying in Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, first chapter, it said that Ezekiel was there and the Lord came to him in this wheel thing, all right, that was spinning around in front of him. And it said that that was his vision of what he saw before him. And I think there with Ezekiel, he kind of opened up the door for Ezekiel to be able to see into this vision or this wheel thing. And as he was looking into it, we call it that it's called providence. As he looked into that wheel, what he saw was he saw humanity. Not only did he see humanity, but he saw the spiritual realm. But not only did he see the spiritual realm, but he looked up above all of it and he saw God sitting in charge of everything that was taking place in all of creation within humanity, in the spiritual realm, and there's God in charge of it all. So whenever we look into the tomb morning, there's things that we can see, like Ezekiel. Whenever you look into this sepulcher that is empty, it's like God's opening something up to us that we are able to look into and see the things that God would want us to have and to know and to understand in life. It's like a voice from the past, and God is saying, this is what I want you to have. So let's look at these things this morning. I've got about 21 points. I'm going to keep you till about 3 o'clock. No, we just got a little bit here. Notice it says the disciples, they just took off running, something that we can't do anymore after you get over 70. Took off running, they get to the tomb, they look into the tomb, find the tomb is empty. There's nothing in there. There should have been something in there. The thing that should have been in there was Jesus, his body. It's upon the natural realm. He should have been wrapped up in that linen cloth, and he should have had this little napkin over his face covering him there as he laid there. But whenever they got to the tomb, they found that it was empty. Now, I like one thing that it says there at the bottom in verse 8. It said, then went in also that other disciple which came first into the sepulcher, and he saw, and it says he believed. Something within this setting caused him to believe. Now, the thing that I think that we can get from this, the echo from the past, number one, is the thing called hope. There's no hope. Up until this time, there's no hope for mankind. Mankind was in sin. Now here it is that Christ came in the world. He said, there's hope. There's going to be hope. He died. And whenever he died, they placed him in the tomb, and his disciple lost all hope. Lord, what are we going to do? We lost our Lord. So here it is. They get up on that morning. The ladies do. They go to the tomb. They look into the tomb. The body is gone. God has opened it up for mankind to look in and see something, an echo from a path, and it is called hope. How many of you are familiar with John chapter 14? In John chapter 14, Jesus looked at his disciples one day. Actually, in the 13th chapter, he tells his disciples first, he's going to be going away, which brought disappointment in the lives of the disciples. And then, as his disciples were having this discussion about him going away, what are we going to do if the Lord's not here? Jesus says this to them. He said, do you believe in God? And of course they would have said, yeah, we believe in God. He said, then I'm going to give you some hope here. And the hope is this, believe in me. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So here it is. Jesus had to go away in order to prepare the place and make things ready for those who would depart. So as these individuals looked in the grave, they saw that Jesus was gone. Amen. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. He was going to go away and he's going to prepare a place for them. Brought hope. Let me tell you this morning, without Easter, there is no hope. Without Easter, there is no future. Without Easter, there is nothing. We don't call it Easter. We call it the Resurrection Day. But without that, there is nothing. You only have maybe what we call evolution And evolution gives you nothing, and it ends with nothing. Christianity gives you a beginning, and the beginning is God, and it ends, and the end is God. And Jesus says, I am him, and I bring you hope. Isn't that wonderful to know? That no matter what life throws at you, no matter what you deal with in life, there's always God. There's always hope. You ever watch these country singers? And I don't know about the other singers, but these country singers, you ever listen to some of them whenever they sing? This makes me mad sometimes, and I love country music. The thing that makes me mad about country music is, it's kind of like these country singers, they've come through Christianity, a lot of them did, or will and do. They get their start within the church, and all of a sudden they get caught up in the world and the things of the world. And then, man, I mean, everything comes their way, and they get lost in the things of the world. And when they get lost in the things of the world, they finally come to the end of their career, and things begin to fall apart, and you know where they end up at? Back in the church. There's always a place in the church. They know. Why? Because that's where God's at. God brings hope. Easter brings hope. Resurrection brings hope. Disciples went in to that sepulcher that day, and they found hope. The second thing that you would find through this, and I think we talked a little bit about this Friday night, and that is a thing called rest. Let me take you to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. One of my favorite scriptures. Can you imagine Jesus standing on this mound of transfiguration, not the mound of transfiguration, but the mound there where he presented the gospel one day? And Matthew is full of this. But in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says something like this. Listen to what he says. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me read that scripture to you again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, he didn't say you'll find physical rest, but he said you'll find rest for your soul. Whenever we were studying Romans, back it said in Romans there that it's a refuge for the soul. It's a home for the soul, a place where you find peace. Where's that at? In Christ. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Heavy with what? Well, the thing that you'd be heavy with would be life. Life is a burden a lot of times. How many of you have enjoyed your life all the way? I mean, there's been ups and downs all the way through life. Life has this pressure. And Jesus says, whenever life gets you down, come to me. Whenever sin gets you down, come to me, and you will find rest for your weary soul. And that's the only place you're going to find it. You will never find it in the things of this world. Amen? So whenever the disciples ran into that tomb that day, they found hope, they found rest, and they found it in an empty tomb. It's like Ezekiel looking in to that vision that God presented for him there in that desert, and he saw all these different things here in this empty tomb. God said, this I have laid before you all that life is about, and you can find all your needs met in this empty tomb. How many of you like to look into the future and think there would be no resurrection? How many of you like go to the grave sites and find there's no resurrection? But whenever the disciples looked in here, they realized that Jesus was alive and all that he promised was true, and that he is the answer to the problems of life. But also here, I think that they not only found hope and found rest, but they found a future. They look into the future and saw the hope that comes only from God. If you want to know a little bit about your future, then I would encourage you as a Christian to read 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, all of it, and spend a lot of time there, because that is the future of those who believe and trust in Jesus. That's the greatest chapter on the resurrection. And most time, whenever you deal with Easter at this time of year, they begin to preach on 1 Corinthians 15 because it talks about the future. But not only that, do we find that there's hope for the future, but we realize that Jesus says and makes the most promising thing from this empty tomb. And we can go back to John 14, where it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again and receive you unto myself." So whenever the disciples looked in this tomb, they saw that he was coming back. They take that little napkin there that was about his face. Look at verse 6 in John. Well, back up just a little bit, verse 4. "So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. Then comes Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself." Now, from my understanding, the tradition was that this cloth that was taken and put in a special place and wrapped up and folded was there for a specific reason. And the only way I can help you understand that is by telling you a story that happened to me and Karen one day. Karen and I went out to dinner, and I think it was I'm not sure which restaurant it was, but we went in, we had dinner. And when we got there, they were really slow that morning in getting the food to us. You ever been in a restaurant like that? But anyway, we went in, sat down, and then this older couple, and imagine that, I'm 71 years old, and I'm saying this older couple came in. Well, this older couple came in, and they sat down at the table next to us, and they ordered their food. Well, as Karen and I were sitting there, we finally got our food, and we began to eat our food, and then we got about halfway through our food. The older couple that came in, they had sat there for about 15 or 20 minutes, and they had got their food. After they got their food there, they, you know, kind of organized it a little bit, and finally, after a couple minutes of organizing, they both, for whatever reason, I'm thinking old, they both got up from the table and had to leave for a minute. And they were gone. While they were gone, the waitress came over and saw the table was empty. Nobody was sitting at it. So the busboy comes over, and the busboy begins cleaning the food off the table, putting it on the tray to get it out of there. And about the time he got all of it on the tray to get it out, the older couple came back. And they were like, "Where's our food? What happened?" I'm thinking they probably went to the bathroom, all right? But anyhow, while they were away, the individuals came, cleaned their table up, and took the food away, thinking that these individuals were gone. Well, I said that to say this. Here's a custom that had been said and taught dealing with the napkin. During that time, if you were in a restaurant and you were eating and you had to get up from the table for any reason, what you would do is you take that little napkin and fold it up, and you set that napkin down, and it would be a message to those who would come and clean your table up, "Hey, we're not finished yet. I'm coming back." And so what the disciples would have seen in this custom, understanding from that napkin, is this: that Jesus, even though he wasn't in the tomb, left a message. And the message is this: I am not finished, and I'm coming back. And folks, listen, the message to the world today that comes from God's word is this: God's not finished yet, and God is coming back And one day the sky will be opened up. It will be split open and the Lord Jesus will come back. But before he comes back, there's going to be a thing called a rapture. And that's the resurrection. And if there's anything that this portrays this morning, is that event when the voice of archangel will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then all those that are alive and remain will be called up together to meet the Lord in the air, and the Bible says they'll be there forever. So all of our loved ones that's gone, Easter says there's hope. There's coming a day whenever Jesus will finish what he started. And the message from the tomb is this: God's not finished. I will finish what I start. I am coming back. And he's coming back someday. Isn't that great to know? Listen, I'll tell you what, whenever you're young, you don't have too much to worry about. Nah, some. But whenever you're 71 years old and older, you know, we got things to worry about. I mean, we would say this morning, we got more time behind us or more days behind us than we have in front of us. But the good news is this: even though in this world we might have short days, in eternity we've got forever. And the message from the grave is that God has made it possible. There's hope, there's rest, and there's a future because Jesus is coming back for his. Amen. Well, stand with this morning as we go to Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for what Easter means. We thank you in knowing that there's hope, there's rest, there's future. And we also know that you're coming back for those that belong to you. We thank you, Father, for the power of your Spirit that gives us strength to live day by day with this hope, where it becomes a reality in each of our lives, knowing that the circumstances of life do not have to get us down. The circumstances of life do not have to destroy us, because your Spirit is there to empower us to overcome. And you, Father, this morning are over all the circumstances of life. There's more power there than anywhere else. This morning we bow before you, we trust you, we allow you to be the God that you are in our life. And we just ask you, Father, to be glorified in the things that we say and do and in always our actions. This morning we just say to you, we love you and have your own way. As we close this service with this song of invitation, Father, again, the message is you're here and there's hope in your Son Jesus for anyone and everyone. And the message is, to come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. If you've been burdened down with life, this is your way out. It's in Jesus, to find rest in him. This morning we thank you, Father, for your presence. We love you. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.